Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 242. What is going on? I am Matt O'Leary, along with Mitch Anderson. I almost completely reversed Ron Burgundy'd it. That was really bad.
That would have been great. You would have been like, a second you would have said, I am Mitch Anderson. Oh, God, everything hurts. Why am I falling apart?
Suddenly, I want to play the Dragons game. Was it Dunces and Dragons? Dungeons and Dragons. No, that's from SpongeBob, Dunces and Dragons.
I want to play the dragon game. Oh, yeah, I'm a big nerd. It's fine. It's all good. How are you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty good. I was telling you, at work this week, I've just written like a million Tiger Woods stories. So I feel like I had to get in on the fun. I placed a little wager on Tiger Woods. Not a lot of money because he's a long shot, but I put a little sprinkle on that because I said, you know what? I don't like to feel left out. I want to be in on this fun.
Yeah, and if he wins it, like he says he will, great, you get a good sum of money. I don't think he will, although, just like you said, I don't watch a lot of golf. I actually don't watch golf at all. I hate playing, and I don't like watching it, so I know it's important. A lot of people do. I can't stand the sport. It's boring as hell, and it's not fun to play for me.
I stink at it. I don't like playing it, and I really don't like watching it unless, there's a caveat here, unless like I'm trying to like take a nap on the couch. I feel like there is nothing better than like having the, because it's pretty much like the announcers are like doing ASMR, whispering into the microphone. It's usually on in the springtime. You could have like the windows open, cool little breeze on like a Sunday afternoon. Right out, baby. Put me right to sleep.
Yeah, 100%. Sorry if you like golf a lot. It's no disrespect. I know a lot of people like it, love it, watch it. My brother plays it, watches it. I just can't do it. And some other people say the same thing about the sports I watch. True. Say that about soccer, right? So it's each his own type of thing.
Absolutely. So how about you? You doing good, buddy?
Yeah, you've got a little guppiness is the word I use for my throat, but I think that's just that's a me thing. But other than that, doing good. It's warming up here in Canada, so going to play some street hockey soon. I got my eye on some street hockey pads. Both of my kids started shooting balls and they like hitting me with them because it's funny to hit your father with a ball. And I want to protect myself a little bit. Fair. And kind of look cool while doing so. So I'm going to pick up some street hockey pads soon. Not the ones that you saw me in the Coliseum parking lot with, but just some like really basic pillows, basically.
Okay. That works. Good stuff. Love it.
So that's what's going on here.
All good things over there. So let's get into the New York Islanders, Mitch. We have to talk about, well, they're playing a little bit better. They've won four of their last five, which is good, but they lost to the Stars last night. And the conversation now, I feel like the Jim, do you know who Jim Mora is?
I've heard the name, but I don't get the reference.
Okay. So he was
football
a
coach?
Football coach, early 2000s. And there's the video of him going, playoffs? We're talking about playoffs. That's what I feel right now. So this first segment I'm calling playoffs question mark in honor of Mora.
Jim Mora.
Yeah, exactly. So we have to answer this question. Playoffs, yes or no?
No.
Yeah. No, that's the end of the podcast. Thank you for coming in today. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Yeah.
But yes, I think that's kind of what we have to talk through right now as well. Yes, they are playing better. And yes, before this loss against Dallas, there was the slimmest of slim chances, but I feel like that is all completely out the window now at this point. Any pipe dream is done.
Yeah, losing against Dallas was bad. Like, the Islanders basically had to win out the rest of their schedule. And even if they did that, they still needed some things to go their way. Mainly, you know, the Washington Capitals dropping a few more games, including the ones against the Islanders at the end of the season. Right, the last two of three games is against, I think it's Washington, Tampa Bay, the last three games in a row for the Islanders. They need to win all of those and Washington to drop those two and other ones. And as it stands now, Washington is not dropping their game against Tampa. Washington is up 4-2 as it stands right now. And so the Islanders not only losing against that Dallas game, against the Dallas Stars, kind of cementing the end of the season. The fact that the Washington Capitals are winning this game that they shouldn't, for our sake, definitely adds that extra nail in the coffin.
Yeah, no, it totally does. And, you know, obviously deflating, but like we said here, it was too big of a hole at the start. They dug themselves too big of a hole. And they've played better, especially recently, and it's nice to see Brock Nelson scoring goals. It's nice to see Anders Lee goal total coming up. J.G. Pageau has been scoring a ton recently. Like, these are all really good things, and we could talk about these positives, but at the end of the day, it's not going to be enough to get back into the playoff race. And sure, like, it was fun for, like, that couple days to be like, oh, they're going to get back in it, but it's, as we said for months now, it's too far gone.
Right, and that's important for months now, because someone listening to this might go like, didn't you already decide they weren't going? Yes, we did, as did a number of people. This is us kind of going like, oh, we were wrong. It's just kind of like, we had nothing else, and we, like everyone here, had nothing else to hope for, right? Like, yeah, the guys are playing well, great. That's good to see going forward, but we want to see playoffs. And you can see with those four wins in a row going into Dallas saying, okay, well, they're getting there. They're bridging that gap. It's still a monstrous gap, right? Even then, going into Dallas, they had an 11-point difference between them and the Washington Capitals. It just gave us something to kind of rally towards and hope for and watch the games for, outside of like, are the guys going to play well? Can they score goals? Yes, yes. Okay, well, is there something else? And that's what it was. And now it's really done and dusted.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think I like that you brought up the goal scoring, because I know last night when we were recording this on Tuesday night, they scored it was only two goals. But before that, they were putting in goals seemingly left and right. You had 4-3, 5-4, one against Tampa Bay, which was bad, but 3-5-3, like that's a lot of 3+ goal games right there in a row.
Yeah, and I saw a lot, I just focusing on that Dallas game, a lot of the commentary being like, they're old and slow. They've been old and slow the entire season and still win games, specifically recently. They weren't fast in those wins. What they were able to do is get pucks to sticks and transition properly. Not with speed, but transition cleanly. They were not able to do that against the Dallas Stars. If you look at where a lot of those mistakes were happening, it's because of breakdowns entering the neutral zone. The Dallas Stars were able to poke check pucks or get sticks in lanes, and the Islanders' puck management was at an abysmal low level, and that's what sunk them yesterday. Sure, they're slow and old. Yeah, those are unquestionable facts, but that has been unquestionable for the entire season.
I was going to say, last year, weren't they pretty old and slow last year too, and they were a game with it going away from the Stanley Cup? Like, this isn't a new narrative where it's only like we're just realizing this now. There's so many factors to where they got here, and yes, part of the reason why they are on the outside looking is because they are old and slow in some areas, but that's only like, I feel like you're narrowing in on just one thing that doesn't tell the entire story here.
It's the easy out, right? And it's, oh, they're old and slow. Okay, well, they were old and slow when they were winning. They're not a fast team. That's not their strength. Their strength is systematics. It's the basics. And they weren't doing the basics right against the Dallas Stars. Their puck management, we said in the Patreon plug, in the Patreon show after the game, that we were surprised they only had 6 giveaways, because it looked like the Islanders were just giving the puck away like it was going on sale, right? Like, you get a puck, they're Oprah out there, you get a puck, everybody gets a puck, is what they were doing. Apparently Oprah Winfrey sounds like Kermit the Frog, but you get my drift here. They were really bad at puck management, and that's what sunk them, not the old and slow thing.
Yeah, it's, you're right. And again, it's going to feel like, I feel bad for a listener, because I'm going to say we've listened to the show the exact same thing for the last 3 months here, but it's a retool situation going into the offseason. It's not a, oh my God, this is complete panic, they're going to be bad forever. It's, all right, you're probably saying goodbye to Zdeno Chara and Andy Green on the back end. Maybe Robin Salo is getting a bigger role next year. Maybe you're bringing in another defenseman on the market who can come in and move the puck as well. And then add another score in the mix here with your boatload of cap space. And the 22-23 Islanders are looking a little bit different here.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt that there's a reinjection that needs to happen. Maybe shed off a little bit here, a little bit there. Everyone's focused on Semyon Varlamov, and rightfully so. And that's someone that could maybe garner some attention going into next season. But there's also someone like Anthony Beauvillier or Josh Bailey, specifically Josh Bailey. Arizona Coyotes always need to hit the cap floor, and $5 million for a guy who can still play on a bad team's top six. All right, yeah, they can sign up for that. I haven't looked at his contract to see what the money is like necessarily, like as in, is it going down, right? Like, he's got that $5 million cap hit, but is he getting paid less than that? I'm just doing that as I speak here. And he is, right? Next year, 3.5, and then the year after that, 3.5, no signing bonuses. So his cap hit is $5 or $10 million combined over the next 2 years, but is only being paid $7 million. That's something that the Arizona Coyotes would be like, we can get in on that.
Yeah, no, I would think so. That's got to be a really positive sign.
Yeah, sorry, I thought it didn't sound like my sentence was ending there, but that's the guppiness preventing the punctuation from coming out properly from my dumb throat.
No, that's okay. I was waiting for you to say something else. I was a little caught off guard. That's on us. Bad communication there. We'll move fast. But you're right. Yes, that is in a perfect world, because you're getting... The cap hit is higher than what you are actually paying the player, which is, as we know, a situation that Arizona would like to be in. That I would feel, you know what? I know he hasn't been good this year. I would feel really bad for Josh Bailey if he had to go play in a college hockey arena to finish out his career.
That's true. Maybe Ottawa. I haven't looked at Ottawa's situation in terms of the cap. He could do wonders in Ottawa, like as a leadership role, taking these kids out and showing them the ropes. And that is definitely Eugene. Well, RIP, obviously. An Ottawa center situation, right? Like they would bring in at least under previous ownership, a contract that looks like Josh Bailey's for sure, without a doubt.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And it's not like he's got trade protection to speak of. He can't be like, I have a 16 team no trade list here. No, there's none of that. You can go wherever the hell we say you go, basically.
Yeah, and that's a benefit of there, I guess. Thank you, Garth Snow, on that one.
Yeah, and so... As the season tails towards the end here, obviously playoffs aren't going to happen, but there's an encouraging underlying narrative here where some players are performing properly, like the Kyle Palmieri's, the Brock Nelson's, the Anders Lee's. That gives us hope going into next year, but that doesn't change the overall narrative, where a retool still needs to happen in two key areas. On the blue line in the top four, and in the top line. That needs to be augmented going into 22-23.
Yep, 1,000%. And I feel like that's the narrative we've been talking about forever, hence the joke about this being the same show over and over again for the last 3 months. But that's kind of, when you're out of it, that's what the conversation becomes, is, okay, what do you have to do to improve? And for a lot of teams who are rebuilding, which the Islanders are not, we've made that very clear, it's, okay, how do you create cap space? What are the draft prospects? Islanders don't care about draft prospects right now. So, like, I was never in a situation where I was like, I want them to tank, because we knew they were never catching the bottom feeders of the league. That just is unlikely. And if, let's say, you end up with, I don't know, the 10th overall pick, they are not coming in and impacting this roster for probably at least 3 years. So that does you really no good. So, like, why am I going to get bent out of shape, you know, and be mad if they win a game and they move from the 10th pick to the 12th pick now? Like, what are we doing here? I feel like you're just getting mad over something that's not going to have an impact anywhere close to this team's contending window.
Yeah, that's the thing. And like, look, this draft is probably going to be pretty deep. As I go through the top 15 picks in the draft, I picked a round number type of thing. There's some interesting names there that might be available to the Islanders. And while I won't get into it right here, right now, because that's not the discussion here, there are some names that the Islanders could pick up going, all right, that could be an interesting prospect, like you said, in a couple of years. there was no one that they were going to be bringing in that's going to make an impact tomorrow. There's no generational talent available. There's no Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkins available there at the 2022 draft. Next year with Connor Bedard, right? That could very well be the case, but we'll leave that to next year. Hopefully the Islanders aren't in a position to draft him.
I don't think so. Montreal, Ottawa, it's going to be very hard to get to that level. Arizona.
It really is. Like, they're going to have to be, like, going up and down the ice, doing basically, and then trying to play with one hand, and even then, they might not get there.
No. So it's going to be rough. Anything else on just the team playing better, but still not enough? Or have we kind of talked that to death?
Well, can we talk about the goalies real quick? And we said about Semyon Varlamov being moved, but man, he's playing so well of late. I know the results are obviously there, and they weren't really there in Dallas per se, but you can't hang that on Semyon Varlamov. And even then, his save percentage says otherwise. So he's getting shelled for 40 shots. He stops a lot of them. Do you think that changes the Islanders' plan in terms of moving a goalie next year? Because it's not like they got another one coming up burning a hole in their roster.
True. I don't think it does. If anything, I think it helps his value in the offseason. He's now up to a 919 save percentage on the season, which right around that 920 mark is pretty nice. The goals against at 270 is kind of rough, but who knows? Maybe after a couple more starts, that's looking a little closer to 2.6, and that's getting there to much nicer looking numbers. But I'm still team move Semyon Varlamov, just because I think it creates more opportunities for you to add. And then I think you can get a backup for Ilya Sorokin, who could still be productive at probably half the cost. So then you could have that extra $2.5 million to spend on a more premium need than a 1B goalie.
Yeah, you're right. Right, if you can send Semyon or Ilya Sorokin out there 60 games and you get a decent backup, I haven't looked, but what's Anton Khudobin up to right now? Right, you got another Russian out there. That would be key, and then you reinvest whatever savings into a top line winger. Right, if let's say Johnny Gaudreau or I don't know, Philip Forsberg get to free agency and you're competing with someone else and you toss another $2 million on the board. It's an overpay for sure. But if that locks him in and you're getting a guy who plays at the pace that Philip Forsberg is playing at, that's something the Islanders have to entertain. At least entertain. Not say they have to do it, but they've got to entertain it.
No, well, that completely changes the trajectory of your team, having another guy who could be... Because I'd imagine even in the Barry Trotz system... that he's still close to a point per game player.
Right. You add a point per game player to this team. And like, what are you keeping? You haven't lost anything, right? So that is excellent. You add that, pull up, done. Okay. Well, now we've got to figure out what to do on the back end. Sure. But when you just look at the forwards, you're saying this won't be the best offensive team in the league, but they're certainly not going to be bottom half. So you give this team top half offense, look out, and capable defense. Of course, they need to work on the defense, but if they can do that and do this, look out.
Right, and obviously, like, for as tough as the defense has been at times this year, they're still fourth in goals against. So, like, they are still pretty solid there, but in goals for, 25th. If that number is like, even if that number is like, I don't know, 12th and 5th, then that's a dangerous team for how they play. That is a really dangerous team.
Yeah, that means we're scoring probably 3 per game, but allowing only 2. That's pretty goddamn good.
Yeah, well, right now that's not the case, and that's why, unfortunately, they aren't winning to the point where they should be.
That's right. So I just wanted to talk over that because I think the Semyon Varlamov angle is going to be something we're talking about deep into the offseason if he's not moved at the draft, let's say. And I don't know if he will, but that is something that is going to keep coming until next year when the lineup is out there and we see him there or not.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. That's going to be a huge storyline. So I'm glad you brought that up. And you're right. He deserves love because he's been playing significantly better. The NHL's third star of the week last week.
Exactly, right. So the good things from Semyon Varlamov, who still has a place on the Islanders roster, for sure.
Absolutely. So with that, we kind of wanted to talk about someone who maybe doesn't have a place on the Islanders roster, and that is Kiefer Bellows, because it's pretty much been a back and forth between Kiefer Bellows and Ross Johnston, filling in for Cal Clutterbuck as he's hurt. He's not going to play the rest of the year. But I don't know how Kiefer Bellows fits in this team anymore, because I thought, and even Barry Trotz thought, he said, okay, maybe this guy's ready for an everyday role, and then he was good for like a few games, and then it was right back to square one here. So how long are we going to keep doing this song and dance with Kiefer Bellows?
I think it's over, right? Like, I wrote for the site saying that Ross Johnston just deserves a spot. Just give it to him. It's all done, because we haven't seen enough from Kiefer Bellows. But in the back of my mind, I was like, Barry Trotz is going to do some stuff, and he's going to flip these guys around when the narrative fits, type of thing. And I kind of thought he might put him in against the Dallas Stars. You got the travel, it's a road game type of thing, you're away, it's a late start. Why not give the young kid who's probably got some legs and something to prove a chance? But he didn't. He put Ross Johnston in there, and for good reason. If you're going to give someone 8 to 9 minutes a night, who better to give it to than Ross Johnston, right? Like, you know what you're going to get out of him, and you know what you're sending him out there to do. With Kiefer Bellows, you're not really doing that, and it's kind of a disservice to him. You can't put him out there for 8 minutes a night and say, go out and perform a checking role. That's not his game. That's not something that he's going to excel at, and so you're setting him up to fail, type of thing, if you do that.
Yeah. But where, like, who's moving down in that spot is the issue.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. You're dead on. You started it off perfectly correct, and you are still perfectly correct. Who comes out for Kiefer Bellows? Who? No one. Zach Parise? Please.
Yeah, I mean, no. You can't. Unless you healthy scratch Oliver Wahlstrom again.
And why would you do that? The ceiling is certainly higher for Oliver Wahlstrom than it is for Kiefer Bellows. But you're right, that's an option. The only other option is, I can't do it, but it's scratching Josh Bailey.
Yeah, those are the two, but I don't see either of those things happening. Number one, because like you said, Oliver Wahlstrom, while yes, he's struggled and has been pretty much downright bad for the last 2 months, or maybe even longer than that at this point, I don't see him, you know, sitting in favor of Kiefer Bellows. Josh Bailey, I don't see him coming out of the lineup. He just led the team in ice time last night for forwards. I don't, that's why I posed the question, who comes out? Because, or not even who comes out, but who moves down? Like, let's say you put Kiefer Bellows in, you're going to scratch Ross Johnston. So he's not even in the equation to play on the fourth line. But you say, we don't want Kiefer Bellows on line four. Which of the other nine forwards are moving down? It's not
none.
It's not JGP. It's not Barzal. It's not Nelson. Not Lee. Not Bovilia. You go through the whole line. It's no one.
There's no space for Kiefer Bellows here. There really isn't. Which really sucks for him. I kind of feel for him, going like, the hell am I supposed to do? I'm not even going to get a chance to get in and show you what I've got, because these other guys are admittedly doing very well with that position. Like, I got no chance. I got no shot to show you what I've got. But that's how it works. When you get a spot, you're supposed to run with it, right? When the opportunity comes, you're supposed to rise to the occasion. And he kind of hasn't. And that's why he's an extra player for this club. And it sucks, but they got to find him a new home next year.
I think so, too. And I know the rebuttal, and there's probably some people listening to this podcast screaming at their speaker saying, well, why re-sign Zach Parise? Then he is Kiefer Bellows has your spot there. No, Zach Parise, even at 37 years, however old he is, has been significantly better than Kiefer Bellows. Bellows is far too inconsistent to say, okay, on a team where we want to have the Stanley Cup aspirations again next year, we talked about the retool last segment, we're going to say, all right, Kiefer, you're an everyday third line player. I in no way feel comfortable for that, Mitch. He has not shown for an extended period of time that he's that guy. He's too streaky.
That's just it, right? Like, you can't not sign Zach Parise. After what he showed, you can't just be like, nah, we're good, Zach. Thanks for the year. You're a great player for us. You performed well with little pay at all. Very productive for someone making league minimum, but we're good. Thanks. Bye. You can't do that. You've got him and he wants to stay. You keep that guy at league minimum. Are you kidding me? Look, he's making less money than Kiefer Bellows. Less.
That's what I was going to say too. Like, even like the cost is pretty much negligible. It's not like a Leo Komarov situation where he's making $3 million and Kiefer Bellows would be making, I don't know, let's say $800,000, let's say. It's not like you're saving the $2+ million. They would essentially be making the same money, and one, while yes, is older, is also significantly better.
That's just it, right? Like, his impact on the lineup and his impact on other players, right? Like, guys like Barzal are going to lean towards him to figure out, like, what do I do? Where do I go? What do I... Even though Barzal's been in the league for a while now, he's still going to... Zach Parise is a very good player and has been for a very long time in this league. Same thing with Oliver Wallstrom. Oliver Wallstrom's going to, you know, go to him and ask him questions, kind of like what we see with Noah Dobson and Zdeno Chara. It's going to be the same thing. Probably to a different degree, but it's still there. And so do you give that up? No. Specifically for the Islanders, you bring up Leo Komarov. They kept him around for a reason. The intangibles, the leadership, the glueishness of him. That's what they're doing with Zach Parise. And they're going to be like, no, we can't keep that around. He's got a league minimum deal. That's too rich for our blood.
He's cheaper and better.
Right? Like, there's no reason to just be like, peace, we're good. Kiefer Bellows, yeah, I get you want to bring him in, but what has he done to be like, I deserve a goddamn spot? Exactly. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to do it. I think if he sticks around, it's going to be like a Michael Dal Colle situation. I don't think he's going to ask for a trade because he knows that's not a good thing to do. But he's probably going to have these honest and earnest discussions with the Islanders this year. Be like, guys, what do I need to do to get in? Because, like, I feel like I've done everything. And maybe he has. It's just there's too many better guys ahead of him.
Yeah, that's just the unfortunate reality. And while that's a good comparison with Michael Dal Colle, I think even at the NHL level, I think Kiefer's been the better of the two players. But it's still, there's just... And it's not like the Islanders have these veterans where it's like, okay, you can move those guys out and plug those two guys in. You're like, they're going to perform much better than those veterans. I don't know. I don't think I want Michael Dal Colle or Kiefer Bellows playing over even the Matt Martins and Cal Clutterbucks and Zach Parises of the world.
No, because like we know when Matt Martin, Zach Parise, or not even Zach Parise, Matt Martin, like the fourth line, when they go over the boards, they know what they're out there to do. They know what they're going to do and they know how to do it. That's not the game that Kiefer Bellows plays. It just isn't. And so to expect him to do that is kind of not really, you're setting him up to fail, like I said before. We have to remember he's 23. Like, this isn't just some like 19-year-old or 20. He's 23 going on 24 in June. He'll be 24 years old. And we're still kind of like, well, I don't know. That's a long time to be I don't knowing. He's 2016 draft pick. It's just done. I'm not saying bust or anything. I just mean like he doesn't have a room to go forward. So they've Islanders have to finish done and move him on to somewhere else.
Maybe go with Bailey to Ottawa.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. And then the Islanders get something out of it too. Because, like, you're shedding cap space, but the Islanders don't need to shed cap space. So you can get a pretty good return from Ottawa in that regards. I don't know if they've got a top 4D that we'd be interested in. I don't really think so, but it's something to think about.
Anything. I don't know. Obviously, that's more of a conversation for the offseason, but I think we're in agreement. We're in lockstep. I think we answered our own question. Kiefer Bellows doesn't have a role here going forward, so we'll see what they do, but I would be surprised if he's on the team next year.
So would I. I really would, just based off of the guys that are currently under contract and what we plan or what we believe will be done in the offseason. Unless, like, they really see something with Kiefer Bellows, like, we're going to work on this, but knowing full well next year he's taking a huge jump forward. I really doubt that, though.
Yeah. No, I doubt that, too. So, anyway, shall we get to the youngsters on Down on the Farm?
Let's do it. Okay, so big day today in the Islanders prospect pool because two prospects were in action in Finland in Game 7s, Etu Liukas for TPS and Aatu Rautu for Jukurit. Jukurit lost 1-0 in Game 7, so season is done. Aatu Rautu kind of to blame on that play. Loses the faceoff, puck goes to the towards the corner. He can't first retrieve it because it's moved quickly. Doesn't pick up his man, who is alone in the slot, and buries it in. Kind of rough, but their season's done. So now everyone's like, where is Aatu going next? What's the next thing with Aatu Rautu? And it's got to be the Islanders, but when? I don't know yet.
Right, because I did watch the video you put out on it today, and I think you bring up an interesting point where it's, does he make that trip over for 4 games if they're not going to be a playoff team?
Yeah. Obviously, that's up to the Islanders to discuss. I know I have a direct line with him, so maybe some people would expect that I would have a direct answer like I've asked him. I have not asked him, and I don't plan on doing so for a couple of days. I don't think it's right for me to be like, Aatu, your season ended, so when are you coming over? That just seems rude type of thing. So I'm going to give him a couple of days to just kind of chill and figure out what's going on, you know, decompress after a long Liga season. That was highs and lows for him. I'm going to give him a couple of days before I actually ask him that question. But as it stands now, I think the earliest we see him in North America is a week at best.
Yeah, but like you said, best case scenario is a week from now. So I don't know. I almost feel like at this point, I think I'd be surprised with the little amount of time that's left in the AHL season.
That's the thing. Like, because, you know, Bridgeport isn't currently in a playoff position because they had a terrible weekend last weekend when they were in one and they needed a couple of wins. They didn't get it. So they've only got 6 games left. And so by the time he would get to North America, as I understand it, he would only be able to play 4 games. So I don't know. But the Islanders do like to bring guys over early, right? Specifically European guys, right? They did that with Simon Holmstrom. They did it with Ilya Sorokin. Robin Salo, the second they can bring him over, they brought him over type thing. So they like to get these guys acclimated as soon as humanly possible. And I would imagine that will follow with someone like Aatu Rautu. So we will see what happens there. I will ask him in a couple of days. But as it stands now, I would expect no earlier than a week that he'll be in on Long Island or in Bridgeport, that is.
You almost Brendan Burked yourself.
I wanted to say in Bridgeport, but I went to Long Island first. I can't understand. I'll get to the social segment.
Yeah, we'll hold off there. Was there anything else on Down on the Farm that we needed to touch on?
Okay, so then there's Etu Liukas, who did win their Game 7. TPS won Game 7, so they're on to the next round. There's a little bit of a rumor going on with Etu Liukas. It seems that he's not going to be sticking with TPS next year. It seems that he's making the jump, because when I spoke to him last, I asked him about his contract situation. He said, I'm at the end of my contract now. This was back in February when the transfer window was still open in Europe. And so I asked him about his contract. He said, I got this year and then it's done with TPS. And I asked him if he's coming to North America. And he said, well, I don't have any plans on doing so. I plan on staying here type of thing. And it seems that he's going to be moving from TPS to HIFK, which is another team in the Finnish Liga. Why that is, I don't know yet. I haven't asked him about that either, because again, I think that would be pretty goddamn rude to be like, you're in the middle of a playoff run. I heard you're changing teams. Nah, he's focused on where he's at. Like, I'm sure he's got those discussions with his agent. I don't need to put my nose in there. Wait for that.
There's a time or a place, and you have integrity.
Yeah, and we'll get to that too, I'm sure, in the social segment as well, in terms of integrity with them when it comes to things. So I haven't asked yet, but there is a rumor that he is switching teams, so we'll see what comes with that. Final run is Rustin Ishikov. or two. Sorry, there's two guys I want to talk about. Russ and Ishikov, they have made the playoffs. They have made the bye round. They're on to the second round, if you will, of the German Hockey League's playoffs. They've got a new coach, and he's putting up points, like I think I said last week. But the thing is, he's getting some pretty sheltered minutes. He's playing on the fourth line from based on the lineup card, and the minutes have kind of gone down from the average about 15 and a half that he was getting before to about 11 to 13 per night. When I see that, I think, are the Islanders going to sign him? Like, he's not even playing top line minutes or even top 6 minutes in the German league. Are they going to really sign him? I hope so. But when I see that, I go, they could probably look to that and they might not.
Interesting. Originally, my gut was telling me, like, I'd be a little surprised if he didn't get signed. But you think maybe he doesn't?
It's just you got the size, right? He's like, what, 5'8", 100, maybe 70 pounds. He's not very big. He is creative as all hell, a really good player. I'm sure in a couple of years he's going to be one hell of a player, specifically on the wing if he came to North America. But he's really changed the way he takes faceoffs, has really improved that side of his game. But the size factor and the fact that he's not dominating in Europe or even standing out in a top six fashion really makes me think, like, they might look at that and say, like, I think we're good here. But we're talking about a second round pick in 2018. I would hate for them to just be like, nah, we're good. But I'm not confident they're going to sign him.
Yeah, because that was going to be my rebuttal. And I know you don't know the answer here, but I was going to say, you knew the size when you drafted him. Why are you taking him? It was a top 50 pick, too, no?
Yeah, he came two picks after Bodie Wild. Or Bodie Wild, yeah. Bodie Wild was picked before him, yeah.
That just seems strange to me.
Yeah, we'll see. Like, it's just me, the fact that they didn't sign him last year, and I thought, like, he had a really good year with TPS last year. So I thought that was going to be the one where they go, yes. And that would have been his third year in college, which is about when they start signing these guys. But clearly that wasn't the case. So here we are now. But it is what it is. Something to see. It's still playoffs to look forward to. So we'll see what happens there. They're awaiting the first round. I haven't looked to see what it's like because usually when an Islanders prospect isn't involved, I'm not really following a whole lot. But if we look at the table now, they will be playing the Tigers, the Straubing Tigers. So we'll see. Should be starting soon, and we'll see where they go. They're a top team. I would expect that they at least get to the next round.
Okay. Good to know.
And the final one here is we talked about college prospects sticking around, usually to sign after 4 years. Christian Krieger. It seems that he has entered the transfer portal, and he's leaving MSU. Where he goes, no one knows yet. But it sounds like I believe he's a 2017 seventh round pick by the Islanders. Let me just get that correct here. A defenseman definitely out of MSU. Doesn't put up a whole lot of points. Seventh round pick in 2018. I got the year wrong. It sounds like he's moving to a new club or a new college for his fifth year. Where that is, again, we don't know yet, but he's entered the transfer portal, it seems.
Interesting. Okay, so we'll keep an eye on where he's going.
Yeah, he had a big year. For him, 8 points in 36 games, you're going to say eight isn't a whole lot, but that's about three times more points than he's put up beforehand. So, like, his college career went 2 points, 3 points, 3 points, then eight.
Wow. Okay. So, big difference, big jump.
Yeah. I imagine he's hoping to go somewhere where he can play he was playing bottom pair at the end of the season for MSU. He might play somewhere in the top four in a lower program, or maybe play bottom pair in a top program. But we'll see there. He has entered the transfer portal, so something to see here. That means the Islanders aren't going to sign him. He's going to stay in college for one more year. That means his rights that are set to expire on August 15th this year will be pushed back one more year because that's based off of when he graduates or essentially when he leaves college.
Gotcha.
So that is it. That's the update for the prospect pool. I hope everyone enjoyed that one.
There you go. To the quiz.
Mm-hmm. So this one here is a weird. I don't know if you're going to get it because I kind of went weird with this one, but we'll see where we go. As we do every week, there's a mystery New York Islander for you, Matt, and you at home to guess. There are 5 clues to guess who this player is. They get progressively easier as we go. You're usually pretty good at these, but I'm not sure about this one. And it's not because of you, it's because probably me. Are you ready?
Yes, let's do it.
Clue 1, I was drafted 16th overall.
Kiefer Bellows.
Incorrect. He was drafted 19th overall, was he not?
Damn it, I always do that. I don't know why I always think he's taken 16th.
Because it was in 2016, that's why.
Oh, duh. Okay, thank you.
So I always go 15th overall for Matthew Barzal, fully well knowing he's 16th overall in 2015.
Interesting. Okay.
So, 2, I played 15 NHL games for the Islanders.
Okay, next.
3. My first NHL goal came against the Washington Capitals. The only assist on the play was Oleg Kvasha. My first point that wasn't a goal came 2 minutes later when I was the primary assist on a Mark Parrish goal, assist Oleg Kvasha as well.
Okay, so obviously early 2000s Islander.
Correct.
But only 15 games. That's what's going to be tough. Okay, next.
My first name is pronounced Petrie, but it's not spelt like that.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Okay, the last name I'm just going to give it to you because it's really hard. I couldn't think of an easier clue here. Nokalainen.
Oh, Petri Nokalainen. Okay.
Yeah, but it's spelled like Petteri, P-E-T-T-E-R-I.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that one.
16th overall.
I didn't realize he was a 16th overall pick, number one, and I don't know why that just didn't come to mind.
So the reason I brought that up is I saw a tweet from Pierre Lebrun, or he was retweeting someone else, and I forget who they were. They were talking about Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin being like, they were thrown into the gauntlet, and there were so many expectations thrown upon them, and they exceeded that because Alex Ovechkin's up to like 1,400 points in his NHL career. And it got me thinking, okay, well, who was the top pick by the Islanders in that two-year gap? And it was Petri Nokalainen. That was their top pick in both years. They didn't have a second or a first round pick in the Sidney Crosby draft. So wild.
Great. Phenomenal.
Good times.
Good times had by all. So with that, okay, there we go. Let's get to the social segment. We have a lot to cover in this social segment. So why don't you get us started, Mitch?
So the first one, I'm just going to go through the normal stuff. And I think we could do PSAs at the end if we haven't already. The first one here is from Jim M, who says, how the F is Tampa in the playoffs? They suck. And this is live from 8:28 p.m. today. The Tampa Bay Lightning are playing the Washington Capitals at that time. They were down 4-2, and they currently still are 4-2 down to the Washington Capitals. So Islanders fans are watching other teams, hoping for a beneficial result and not getting it, and real mad about it.
Yeah, I could totally understand that. Obviously, holding out any little bit of hope, but I don't see that one coming through. For my social, it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be kind of like a guessing game, so I want to hold off.
Ooh.
Can we go through like everything else? We could do the PSA, and then get to the. I think you're going to like this. It's different.
Okay, we're going to put a pin in the guessing game then.
Yes, pin in the guessing game.
All right. My second one here comes from at the coach's site, and it's a snippet of a talk that Barry Trotz had years ago because he's sporting the full goatee there and he's looking a couple years younger here. And he's talking about coaching young kids and how young kids always talk or are always asked why. And back when he was a player, you didn't ask why. You just asked how high, right? If a coach asked you to jump, you said how high and not why. And he's trying to tell these people who are going to these coaching seminars, being like, just because they're asking why isn't because they're being disrespectful. It's because they really want to know. You got to think that this generation is open to all kinds of information. They're going to ask why, and you better have a good answer outside of just like, because I said so. You're not Bill Cosby, not because of that, because he said that in the TV show. But yeah, anyways. I thought that was a really, it's only 44 seconds long, but I thought it was a really good snippet, and I would really watch the whole one. I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, I'm going to want to go back and find that. One, just because I like Barry Trotz in general. I think he's a good coach, and that's why I think he's had success for as long as he has, because of his philosophies.
Yeah, or his approach to like young kids. Yeah. And that's the thing, right? He has a direct approach to young kids, and we, all of us, including ourselves, are like, Barry Trotz doesn't like young kids. He's burying them. And there are times when you're like, that's justifiable, but there are other times where it's not really.
Agree.
So, do you have one after this?
No, just the PSA, and before I go to our guessing game here.
Okay, yeah, let's do the PSA. Let's do that first.
Okay, public service announcement. Keep private information private. That's it.
It shouldn't need to be said. Yeah. Like, I understand we're in a day and age when information is all over the place, but when people are going through some pretty private stuff, and if they've asked you to keep it private, do it, please. What? Like, because then you get situations, and what we're referencing here, just in case you maybe have been living under a rock, is the whole Mike Bossy situation, right? Mike Bossy rumored entering palliative care. Oh my God. And then it escalates from that to he's dead. Holy hell, people. Like, we know he's sick. He wrote that letter saying so and then said, I want to deal with this with my family. Let them do that. Leave them to it. My God, people.
Yeah, it's just, it's unbelievably frustrating. And this isn't the only circumstance where it's happened. Every step of the way. Trotz's situation, which was obviously he stepped away for personal matters, that was dug up. Clark Gillies leaked, and now this. So that's three instances in the span of a couple of months. That's pretty sad.
It's really sad. I understand we're in an era where everyone wants to be the first to report, but there's nothing wrong with being the last to report when it comes to something like this. There's nothing wrong with it. Look, we work for a site where that's the business model, sadly, and maybe not so sadly, that's how it is. When a news item breaks, you have to be out there within 2 hours to get it out. That's how this works. But we're not doing this. We're not going to do it for this because it just doesn't. I'd rather be the last to say that something terrible has happened to someone than be the first because I have to get on it.
Yep.
We can wait. That's perfectly fine. And I like seeing that was basically the response from all the Islanders media outlets, all the blogs. Not a single one did anything with this. And I'm so happy and encouraged about that. I love it.
Agree. So let's end this segment on a more fun note. I have a little game for you to go through. And I think the listeners can play along too, unless they've seen it and there's spoilers, and unless you've seen it. But I know your memory. I don't think you're going to be able to get it anyway. So even if you did see it, I'm confident.
Look out, there's a bus coming.
No, well, you'll see in a second. So Dom Lashusen updated his player cards. Mm-hmm. So what I wanted to do with you, I thought it'd be fun, is if we go through and have you guess what their market value salary is versus their actual salary.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah, this will be fun. So we'll go through. Forwards are listed first. Anders Lee, actual salary, $7 million. What do you think his market value is?
6.5.
Pretty close. 6.9.
Oh, I haven't seen I don't look at the updates every time he does them. So I've seen like snippets of like the colors, right? And I look to see who's gold. But that's only because someone is putting it on Twitter and it's coming to my face. I don't go and look. So this is going to be interesting. All right. Okay. Next.
So moral of the story, Anders Lee pretty much right on par for market value, which is a good thing too, by the way.
Yes, sir.
Matthew Barzal is up next. His salary, $7 million.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to say market value, $8 million.
Okay, his market value was 7.1, so just over where his salary is.
Okay, well, he's not losing the money, so that's good.
Josh Bailey, $5 million salary.
3.5.
This was lower than I expected, 2.7.
Ooh. Palat. The reason I said 3.5 is because that's what he's going to be paid next year. So at least he'll be worth what they're paying him, but not even that.
No, not according to this model. Kyle Palmieri is the next forward up. $5 million salary.
$4 million.
No, he's value. Actually he's closer to where his salary actually is. He's up to 4.8 now.
Yeah, you know what? That makes sense because his underlying numbers are pretty good. His expected goals for have been good all year long, and now he's actually popping them in, so I shouldn't have gone so low. But that's the name of the game.
Brock Nelson, $6 million salary.
$10 million value.
9-1.
Oh, that's incredible. 9-1. Oh, my God. That's great.
Love what we're seeing out of Brock Nelson recently. Okay. Anthony Beauvillier, $4.2 million salary.
I'm going to say $5 million in terms of value.
No, you're a little high. He is coming in just under at $4.1 million market value.
Okay. So he's losing them $100,000, but we make up for that with at least Anders Lee. So we're good.
Zach Parise.
This is going to be nuts.
League minimum. So he lists at 0.8 because I guess they round up.
Right. I'm going to say $6
million. $5 million, but still incredible value there.
Yeah. Wow.
JGP, $5
million. I'm going to say 4.5.
No, he's actually above. He's at 5.2.
Holy crap. Remember when we traded for him and signed him? Everyone's like, everyone outside of the island that is... It's not going to be worth it. It's going to be a crap deal. Already proving dividends.
Yep. Agree. So that's a big plus. How about Oliver Wahlstrom?
Oof. I think this is going to be around $3 million.
Yeah, pretty close. 2.7.
Okay. Yeah. He's not putting it like that's the thing, right? He's already to triple his value and he's not playing well necessarily. That's excellent. Well, not excellent, but like good to see, I suppose.
Right. Cal Clutterbuck.
Ooh, so he's on a $3.5 million salary.
Yep.
I'm going to say his value is 1.5.
0.9.
That's not good. That's... Intangibles don't factor in this. Obviously, like this is all about like goals, game score above average type of thing. But still, that's not good.
How about Casey? He's at 2.5.
2.5, I'm going to say it's 2.5.
No, I'm surprised. Only 1.3.
Okay. A lot of penalty minutes. Game score does not like penalty minutes.
No, that's true. But his defense numbers are elite here. And that's so true. Was Cal's,
they're
by the
gold?
Way.
Wow.
They're gold.
Oh,
yeah,
that makes sense. But, yeah,
I Clutter, that. Clutter and Sezik is gold. And Matt Martins is also gold, by the way. Martin's salary is 1.5.
And so what's his payout? His value?
Yeah, market value.
1.
0.1. I don't know how you can get to that because obviously the league minimum is 0.75, but we're at 0.1 market value for Matt Martin.
So he's below replacement level based off of these valuations.
I guess. I guess.
But elite defensive game.
I don't know how that factors in, but it is what it is.
That's a weird look.
It is. So to the defense, that was all the forwards. Ryan Pulak, $5 million salary.
$9 million value.
7.9.
Okay, that's gone down over since it started, but that's okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Adam Pellick, I'm going to say the same thing. $9 million value.
So Adam Pellick is 8.2.
Okay, so close. I'm rounding to the 500s, if everyone like figured that out already.
Noah Dobson's next. His salary is listed at 0.9. His market value is?
$8 million.
8.7.
Oh, I was going to say 8.5, and I brought it down to just be like, he's 10 times better than he should be type of thing. Damn me.
Who do we got? Oh, Andy Green. 0.8 is what the salary is listed as.
I'm going to say like 1.5.
No, actually, same. 0.8.
Okay, so not losing any money there. That's good. Definitely going to be probably losing some money on Chara here.
Chara is 0.8 is what his salary is listed as.
So if Matt Martin can go down to 0.1, I'm going to say 0.5.
He's 0.7.
Okay, close. So close.
Close, yeah. So just under value there. Scott Mayfield is 1.45 or 1.5 here.
I'm going to say is $3 million value.
$3.4 million value.
Oh, rounding doesn't even help me.
And then just the two goalies. So Ilya Sorokin, $4 million salary.
$8 million valuation.
Not quite. $6 million valuation.
Yeah. Goalies are weird. I don't know if they figured out goalies just yet in terms of these kind of cards.
Yeah.
Per se, but.
And save percentage, goals saved above average, goals saved above expected, and goals saved versus average, I guess that's GSVA, right? Is all in gold.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. The goalies haven't really been figured out. I'd love to see a stat where they quantify rebound control. And I'm sure that there's someone doing that. I'm sure there's a spreadsheet or somewhere that quantifies that. I think that's an important part of the game that isn't really quantified just yet, that I think we can quantify. Like, how many times do they give up a rebound on a shot from X distance, right, type of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, the closer the shot, the less likely the rebound type of thing. But I think that would help these discussions a little bit more when it comes to goalies.
And last, we have Semyon Varlamov at salary $5 million.
I'm going to say $5 million valuation.
No, 3.4 for him.
Ooh, not great, but that goals above average is probably what's killing him there.
Yeah, not great. It's not great, but that was a fun little game we played here to end out the show. So I figured I saw those cards, which I wanted to look at, and I thought, you know what? Let's put Mitch's feet to the fire and make him guess on the spot.
Yeah, let's get this nerd to guess nerd stuff. I like that a lot. I would love for that to be a reoccurring thing because these cards aren't going anywhere and I effing love them. So even though I don't look at them all the time. But yeah, more of that, please.
Absolutely. So before we go, let's make sure to get some plugs in here. Wherever you are listening to the show, please make sure to subscribe. Give a rating, review really helps us out a lot. We appreciate all the love and support. You go follow along with us on social media at Eyes on Isles FS on Twitter. My Twitter is Matt O'Leary NY. Mitch is TLO Mitch. Facebook, facebook.com/EyesOnIsles. You could find us on the website, eyesonisles.com, for all the articles. And of course on Patreon, patreon.com/EyesOnIsles. Post game shows through the remainder of the year, mailbag shows, and so much more. Isn't it fun over there, Mitch?
Heck yeah, we got 12 questions here in the mailbag. I'm sure there's going to be a few more before we actually hit the record button. But always, we got an MFK series going on with Rimzy. If you don't know what the MFK is, definitely sign up and figure that out. The season might be ending, but we don't stop. Can't stop, won't stop Islanders content throughout the summer.
Absolutely. So that's going to do it for us. Once again, I am Matt O'Leary. He is Mitch Anderson, and we'll talk to you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.